You can be seated. Our reading from God's Word today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 21. Over the last several weeks, we have looked at the different characters of Christmas. I believe we looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. We looked at Mary and Joseph. We've looked at the angels. And we looked last week at Herod. Last evening, we took a look at Jesus, the Savior, the Christ child. Today, we'll look at the shepherds. Next week, the wise men. And in 2 weeks, Anna in the temple, as well as Simeon. And so we will have made our way, I guess, after January the 8th, through all the major Christmas characters, their look on Christmas, their response to the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I hope these encourage us all to see these different glimpses of God's work at Christmas. Before we read God's word, let's do pray together. Lord, help us to hear and believe and to see the goodness of the gospel. Unstop our ears, soften our hearts, and make us willing and ready to receive your word, to lay it up in our hearts, and to put it into practice in our lives. This we ask in the name of Christ. Amen. So Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told them. Amen. This is the word of the living God. A little over 100 years ago, in the country of Wales, there was what is known. There were several of them, but this is the big one, they call it, the Welsh Revival. And it shows us, as we read about its history, that God comes into the world to save all sorts of people. Part of the blessing of the Welsh Revival is it went through what we might call in our day the blue collar crowd. In fact, so many miners were converted that after their conversion, the mules in the mines did not know how to work because they were accustomed to being kicked and cussed at. And after so many of these workers came to faith in Jesus, they no longer kicked and cussed. But they used normal, regular, everyday, humane and sane language, cleansed by the Spirit. And so it's an interesting set of history to read about. And it's not much different, I think, than what we see in our passage. The announcement of the birth of Jesus doesn't go to the palace. The announcement of the birth of Jesus doesn't go to Rome. The announcement of the birth of Jesus doesn't go to the scribes and to the Pharisees in the temple. No, it comes to what we might call the blue collar guys. It comes to the shepherds. And I know over the years of Christmas sermons and messages and readings, you've heard all the business of the shepherds. They were outcast. They were men who probably didn't smell good, didn't look good, they didn't act good, we might say. And so they were the outcasts. They were, in Jewish terms, considered ceremonially unclean. Nevertheless, this is who God appears to on the night of Jesus' birth. And he comes to them in quite an amazing way. And it raises this question in my mind, and I want to ask it of you. Where were you in life when the clarity of who Jesus is and it became crystal clear to you what Jesus had done for you? Where were you when that took place in your life? I can remember the day, the place, the setting. I can remember the words that were being said. And I can remember when my heart was stirred to know of Jesus, all that he is and all that he has done. And this question is raised here in this passage because this is a moment in time where these shepherds would never be the same. Imagine, if you will, their life. They were out in the cold, out in the dark. They didn't have their phones to look at. They didn't have things to help them pass the time. It was probably a group of them hovered around a fire. They were probably singing that good country song. How does it go? Work, 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 day after day, 50-hour week, 40-hour pay. You know, they were probably having that sort of mindset. Now, if you'll bear with me a moment and maybe forgive a little sanctified wondering, I kind of wonder if they knew a little more than they maybe had in their mind and heart. I mean, after all, these were shepherds. And living in the culture and the society in which they were brought up and raised, they had to know because the Jewish faith was a generational faith passed down by word of mouth. They had to know something of the themes that God had painted and presented to them in the importance of the shepherd. After all, King David was a shepherd from the very hills where they were serving as shepherds. King David, the great shepherd of Israel, was pulled from his sheep tending to become king over Israel. You read through the prophecies and the books of the Bible, shepherding was quite important for understanding how God tended his flock, which was Israel, a flock he had rescued from out of the world and brought into the promised land and promised to give them green pastures if they followed and obeyed him. There's all kinds of themes and messages in the Old Testament of good shepherds, bad shepherds, false shepherds. And so you have to imagine that they knew something of this. But I think more importantly, they had to know because of their close proximity to the city of Jerusalem, their closeness to the great need for sheep, for lambs. For in the Old Testament economy, under the laws of ancient Israel, under the defined practices of worship, lots of sheep, lots of lambs went to the city of Jerusalem. And they went up to the temple and to the altar where they were sacrificed before Almighty God as an atonement for sin. They had to know in some sense where their sheep were going, where their product was headed. And so when the announcement came to them that a Savior had been born, you have to wonder, did they know this was the final Lamb of God? This, in a sense, would be putting them out of business, except for maybe food and wool and clothing. This would put them out of business, for the Lamb had been born, the Lamb that the book of Revelation tells us had been slain before the foundation of the world to take away the sins of the people. Well, those are things we can wonder about. Those are things we can ponder. Those are things that we can, in a sanctified way, suspect may possibly be true of these shepherds. But there are three things we do know are true from this passage. We know first of their fear. When an angel of the Lord appeared to them in the darkness of the night. Now, you remember, they don't have Walmart parking lots with all the artificial lights. You know, they don't have city street lamps. They don't have much in the way of artificial light. No, when it got dark, it got dark, except for the natural constellations that appeared if there were no clouds. And so when an angel of the Lord appeared to them, we have to think back to other times in the scripture where the angel of the Lord appeared to people. and their fear. That's exactly what happened to these shepherds. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and they were, to quote, who reads it in the Charlie Brown story? Is it Linus? I love the King James. They were sore afraid. We might say they were shaking in their boots. We might say they were undone. And that's a proper response to the presence of Almighty God. When God sends His angel, He sends His presence, He sends His emissary, He sends His ambassador, and it's as if the light of the glory of the heavenly realm comes down to earth, and these shepherds, doing ordinary work on an ordinary night, have this extraordinary experience. The presence of God Almighty comes to them. The great light, the greatness of this being. We remember that God made man in His image, but He made angels in a splendid way. Angels are at the presence of God. They surround His throne of glory. They worship Him, but they do His bidding. You know, we have kind of cheapened. I don't know if that's the right word. We have a low view of angels these days. Won't get into that because don't want to offend anybody on Christmas Day. But we just have a low, bad view of angels. If you ever bump into an angel, you'll know it, and you'll be terrified, and you'll know something of the presence of Almighty God. And that's exactly what appeared to these shepherds. God had an important announcement to make, and so He sends the angel of the Lord. He sends one directly from His presence to say, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David Christ the Lord. I bring you good news, good tidings of great joy." This was the most important announcement that could ever be made. These angels, the same ones that appeared to Abraham and told him that in the next year he and his wife would bear a son, the same angels that appeared to Zechariah in the temple, and to Joseph in his chambers, and to Mary, and told them of the coming of the Christ child. These angels appear to the shepherds. And while this one angel comes and makes this announcement, all of a sudden the whole host of heaven appears and sings, or says, we don't know which, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. May it rest on those upon whom God gives favor. We remember the angel of God. We remember the army of hosts appearing in other places. Think back to that Old Testament passage where I think it was the Assyrians had surrounded the Israelites, and Elijah, the old prophet, sees the host on the mountains, and the young man that's with him is, well, he's scared just like these shepherds, shaking in his boots. And God says, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And he sees the army of God and says, "There is more of us than there are of them." God brings this great host into the sky of the fields of Bethlehem to announce to these shepherds. And their response is one of fear. Their response is to tremble. It's to shake at the presence of Almighty God. That's something we have lost these days. Some of you know, a couple months back, I went to a little preaching conference, and we went through all the how-tos and the what-to-dos and the what-not-to-dos. And all that was great, but the one thing that was said to us by our teacher was this. He says, if you as a preacher have lost the fear of God, it doesn't matter your technique or your skills or your abilities, but if you've lost the fear of God, and I think that could be said of Christians these days, if we've lost the fear of God, we need to somehow gain it back. For we need to fear, which means to reverence who God is. His greatness, His splendor, His majesty, His eternity, His desires, His love, His work, and His kindness and mercy to us in His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first response of these shepherds. To fear God, and to even fear Him as the judge of the world, but to know that He has brought a way for men and women and boys and girls to come to salvation through his own son who was just born that night. Well, the second response of the shepherds is one of worship. Now, in a sense, I'm speaking to the choir because a lot of you came out on a cold night last night, Christmas Eve, and now you're back out on Sunday morning when most of the world is not in church. What a strange phenomenon. I don't know if you've seen all the internet arguments. I read in certain circles, and there's been a raging argument. I think it happened 4 years ago as well. I think it's maybe 11 years before church or Christmas falls on a Sunday again. But our view is it's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. It's the day of worship. And it's a fitting response to the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a fitting response to God's revelation of his Son, the Savior. And so the shepherds say, let us go and see what the Lord has made known to us through these angels. And it says they went with haste. You know, a lot of times our weekly schedule, there's things we go to quickly. We don't mind quickly getting to a ball game or to the shopping center or to other events. But why is it we drag to church as if serving God is so difficult? But the shepherds give us a great example. They made haste. Their hearts were so stirred by the presence of God. Their hearts were so moved by the message of salvation. I guess they had to draw straws and leave somebody behind. I don't know how all that worked out. We won't think too much on that, but they made haste to the presence of the birth of this Savior. And they made known to them, that's the third thing in this passage, they make known the saying that was told them. Mary, it says, treasured all this up, pondered it in her hearts. And then it speaks of the shepherds leaving, glorifying God. Lives changed forever because of the presence of God and this wonderful divine announcement. Back to the question from a few moments ago. Where were you when Jesus was made clear to you? Or maybe he's not been made clear to you until today. And it's my prayer that you have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Lamb, the spotless Lamb who came to die for sinners. It's amazing these shepherds got to go and see the birth of the great Lamb of God. And it's my prayer today that you have a saving relationship with him by faith. You believe him to be the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, the Lamb of God who can take away the sins of the world, even your own sins. Let's do pray together. Our great God, we thank you for your entrance into the world. And we thank you that you have made yourself known to simple ones as ourselves. We are not sophisticated or complicated people. But our lives are so complicated by sin and misery. And we thank you that your Son, the Lord Jesus, has come to make us new and to make us whole and to make us what we ought to have been, but what was broken and bruised and bent by sin. And we thank you for Jesus, the second Adam, the great Lamb of God who takes away our sins, but also gives us a whole life. We thank you and bless you for all that he is and all that he has done, and pray that you would add these to these words your great blessing. We pray now in Christ's name. Amen.